can't have a full house. We don't have the Zoom. Do we, Kim?
Just kidding. All these people are Zooming in. Participating. Okay. Well, welcome, everyone. We've got a full house. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
We'll call the meeting order. It's at 7:02, and we always start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And just remember, the people in the world don't get to say the pledge to that, and they're in communist countries. Remember that? They are. That's not good. So Jim and I talk about that a lot, and you can see what's happened the last couple days. Not good living in those countries. It's great living here. Okay, roll call, please.
Coke.
Here.
Transier.
Here.
Clocher.
Here.
Soling.
Here.
Funkhauser.
Here.
Merrick.
Here.
Tarulis.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Awesome, thank you. So I have no amendments to the agenda. One thing I would just ask everyone, council members, staff, Rachel Wright, who worked there, obviously. We all knew her. She passed away, what is it, a couple weeks ago now?
A week ago.
Mm-hmm. And her service is this Saturday in Sandwich. Is it 1 to 3?
Yeah, a beverage.
Beverage, yeah. So just keep her in mind. I didn't know her as well as a lot of the staff here. Just a great lady. Always had a smile on her face. A good friend, yes. Okay, so we have no amendments. Next, we have a presentation. And this, I'm turning this over to my colleague, Jim. Who am I turning over to, Jim?
Ray and Garrett and myself.
Excellent. Ray and Garrett and yourself. So all three of them. So they've got some awesome things today. I'm so excited to hear this.
It's good. So we have the officer here.
Where's Barrett?
No, he's going to come back.
Oh, he is. Oh, yeah.
So it's not often that you get to recognize so many officers with their actions. And I will tell you that there's not a, I don't think there's, maybe there is, maybe the Honor and Valor Award are the two highest awards we have for our police department. So Deputy Chief Mikulasik and Commander Carlisle are going to go through the awards for our officers up front for their life saving and valor efforts.
All right, Deputy Chief Ray Mikulasik, this is Commander Carlisle, Garrett Carlisle. Each officer is going to receive a personalized commendation letter, but I would just like to read a summary of what their letters are going to look like and summarize the events that night. On Wednesday, January 5th, 2022, approximately 4:45 p.m., Yorkville Police Department officer responded to 207 Georgiana Street for a reported structure fire. Without hesitation and regard for their own personal safety, they entered the residence with the knowledge that two residents were inside and unable to escape. Officers were immediately met with a smoke-filled home and the dangers of an unknown fire source. Despite difficulty seeing and breathing due to heavy smoke, officers were able to locate two elderly residents. Officers worked together to develop a plan to move them from the home. Officers were able to assist one resident through the front door and were able to carry another from the living room through the garage to safety. While this was occurring, officers located the source of the fire behind a closed door and made a quick decision to leave the door closed and notify other officers of the danger. This action likely stopped the rapid spread of the fire and contained the fire until the arrival of fire department personnel. Officers remained in the home until they were able to remove four dogs located in kennels. You selflessly ran into a structure fire and rescued two residents and their dogs while exposing yourselves to great personal danger. These actions are true acts of valor and something you should all be proud of. These officers are shining examples of the excellence that makes up the Yorkville Police Department. Annette, would you like to come up? This is Annette. Family members were saved by these officers that day, and she'd like to say something.
Unfortunately, Mom and Auntie couldn't make it. My godmother is 94. She's completely immobile. My mom is almost 80, and has difficulty with mobility. And these officers went in and literally saved my family's life. And I can't be more grateful that they were willing to do that. They also saved our four very annoying dogs. And we're also very grateful for that. But I just wanted to express from my family our heartfelt gratitude for saving our family and saving our dogs. And my mom wanted me to tell you she's never seen a more handsome group of officers. So, she wanted to make sure you guys knew.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Real quick, before we get into the rest of it, I just wanted to put into some context time of day. 4:45 is getting close to our shift change. I was working that night. I walked down to my office because I'm changing my desk nowadays, and I heard the call come out. Walked through a door, I turned around, PD was empty. Those guys ran off without a moment's notice. And when we say that, I really mean that. You guys took off in a hurry. Officer Fisher, standing in the middle with the beard, he was here, ready to go, well before it was his time to start tour duty. Ryan had his car loaded up, ready to go like we asked him to, in case something like this would happen. That's why we say, do that, Ryan. He jumped in his car and headed over there. I followed those guys, and what I saw, I work with you guys every day, and I couldn't be more proud of you. When we were sitting down going through your documents, it was one of the proudest moments of my career, writing down the things that you guys did. I saw you work without hesitation, without any regard for yourself, and the care and concern that you put in for our citizens there. You know, we could talk all day long about it, but you guys, just sincerely, very proud of you, the effort that you did, making sure everybody was safe. As soon as they got out of the house, the first thing they were doing was making sure that each other was safe. Making sure that they were getting taken care of. You guys were a well-oiled machine, and I was very proud of you guys. You should hold your head high, because that's not something every day you get a chance to do, and you guys did it like it's your job. Great job.
So I'm going to piggyback on that a little bit. First of all, I want to thank John, Sergeant Hunter, for your leadership with this team. You got a phenomenal team, and thank you for your leadership, because that's a fantastic leader, makes a great team. So I also want to include Deputy Chief Fitzenmeyer in this. Deputy Chief Fitzenmeyer is the Sports Services Deputy Chief. Anybody who knows Bear knows that he is going to be the first one in there with everybody else as well. So I'm just going to read to you his commendation letter. Wednesday, January 5th, 2020, at approximately 4:45 p.m., he responded to the 200 block of Georgiana, a restructure fire. Upon arrival, without hesitation, he took command of the scene and entered the residence along with other responding officers. He immediately came upon one of the residents in the front foyer who was having difficulty walking and assisted her outside to safety. As other assisting units arrived and helped take care of your victim, you re-entered the residence and made sure all responding officers, along with Sergeant Hunter, exited out of the residence. To be an effective leader, an organization must possess the willingness and courage to make a decision and to lead your troops in the battle. You did just that, running into a snowfield house. There's other stuff here that I could read, but I just want to recognize Deputy Chief Fitzenmeyer for his actions, along with everybody else here, and thank you for representing our police department so well.
That being said, it is our honor and privilege to award the following officers with the Yorkville Police Department Medal of Valor, which is our second highest award that we can issue. Sergeant John Hunter. Officer Tim Kalowski. Officer Ryan Fisher. Officer Kyle Davis. Officer Gavin Warren. And Officer Tyler Lau.
mayor's permission, I'm going to add something on this Mike Lee Swanson talk. He doesn't know that I'm going to do this, so right now his face is red and he's going to die. So obviously we have Valor Awards and commendations. I'm going to tell you about another call that happened that he never told us about. We found out from other people. This is the kind of police department that you have. So Officer Swanson responded to a call on the 14th of February in the at about 4:20 in the morning in the 1000 block of Hawkout. There was a lady who just given birth and was having some medical issues. And Officer Swanson came into the house. The father, who was a new father, didn't really know what to do. So Luke, being a father of two young ones himself, showed the dad how to wrap the baby, cuddle the baby, hold the baby, and rock the baby, actually stopped crying, and he went and bought formula. Yeah. So.
I just want to say congrats. Thank you all. Appreciate it. That's awesome. Now, reason I want to put the what do you all put in one of the reports? The cow was moving along. Was that you? Yeah, that was pretty funny. I tried to reply. Congrats. That's awesome. Thank you. That's awesome. Congrats. Thank you. And hey, I wish you would help me in 2 years. And if I'm tired this morning, I might call you.
Thank you.
Congrats. You want to, family, you want to get pictures and stuff? Come on.
We can get your pictures up here if you want.
They don't want pictures.
We can get pictures in there too.
Whatever. That's fine. However we want to do it. Awesome. Thank you,
congrats.
I don't care. I don't care either.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Wherever you guys want to go.
Nothing in the
You need to do that in church.
Are they going to be fighting the deliverance before the end of the year?
Session. It's always good to be involved. That's awesome. And the fire chief's here too. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it. Okay, public hearings. We don't have one, but we will have one, I think, on March 22nd. Isn't that correct? I think it's, we talked about March 22nd. We'll talk about it later in the meeting. Are there any citizen comments on the agenda? Anyone want to comment on the agenda? Anyone here? Anyone in Zoom land want to comment on the agenda? No? Okay, perfect. Consent agenda. So we have several things. Actually, 10. This is the biggest one I've had. But as always, before we get to motion, I get the liberty of talking about it a little bit. But it saves you some motion, so we'll do it. So, item 3, the North Central Elevated Water Storage Tank Rehab. That's the one right over in Tower Lane, correct, Eric?
Correct.
And that's an inside and outside sandblasting and painting job. And we estimate that it'll last, what, 15 to 20 years? Okay. And there were 3 bids, and that was a little bid. And that's actually items 3 and 4. Item 5 is just an extension. The original mill road was supposed to be done last year, but the weather got too cold. And so that's through, I think, May 20th this year, and we're expecting it to be done by somewhere April, early May. Item 7 and 8, the acceptance of the Grand Reserve units 13 and 14. One thing, when we accept these now, I want to make sure, staff's aware of this, I want to make sure that sidewalks are in. And Brad said there's a couple sections that aren't, but they put up, Christy's here too, or she's on Zoom. They put up bond money, so they have a year to get those done. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yes. So that way we won't run into that issue again. Or I should say never, but hopefully we won't. And then item 10 is really an FYI. It's an internal thing, but we're switching from, is it Verizon to AT&T, Jim?
That's correct.
And they're giving us a couple of, explain how that works. It's emergency lines.
Actually, I'm going to turn it over to Chanel.
Oh, you did say that. I'm sorry. Chanel, what are you
at? That's okay.
Oh, there you are. I need you to step in.
Yeah. Well, first, that offers its own core network. They can prioritize service.
Can you actually step up to the mic, please?
No problem.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
Well, FirstNet offers its own separate core network that prioritizes service for our first responders in cases of emergency and natural disasters. There are also cost savings too, so from Verizon to FirstNet, which is FirstNet is also AT&T. The cost savings of $100 a month, and that is an annual cost savings of $1,200 a year.
Excellent.
The city's supporting
them. So we're saving a little money, but the bigger thing is they offer a service that Verizon didn't offer.
Yes.
Yeah, hopefully we never need that service, but it's there if we need it.
It's there if we need it.
Yeah, plus we save more money. So, okay, that was my explanation. Before there's a motion, are there any questions on any of those items? Because I want to follow the Roberts rules properly. Is there a motion in a second?
Second.
Well, Hauser, I think I heard Merrick. You're slow, Merrick Peterson.
I figured I'd put like 8 of the things on consent.
Yeah, that's true. I tell you what, when I was going over this at 4 o'clock, I said, oh, damn it, we're going to talk about a few of these. So, okay, we have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Clocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Excellent. Well, boy, I tell you what, that was kind of nice. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Matthew. Next, we have Mayor's Report. Now, we have one item listed, but as always, I try to add a few things. And the first thing I want to add is St. Patrick's Day festivities on Saturday, March 12th. We have a parade. I think it's 9 in the morning. Is that right, Mr. Evans?
The parade starts at 11.
9-11.
The 5K run through South Bank Barbecue starts at 9.
It'll be 9 a.m. where I'm at. Okay, what's that, 11, the 5K, or no, the 5K's at 9.
Yeah, the South Bank Barbecue.
Okay.
The 5K run starts at 9 a.m. and then the parade's at 11.
Yeah, and then there's fireworks too. What time are they blasting off?
Fireworks are at 6:30. Those will be north of town.
Nice.
47 in the countryside.
That's awesome. So I'm excited about that. And I know, I think, Mr. Peterson, I think, aren't you involved with some events that Friday or Saturday? You have some stuff going on. Where's that?
Saturday night at Whitetail Ridge, we've got an event, charity event going on.
Nice.
Sold out. I think it's like 400 people.
Oh, and then I'll
have 300 people.
I'll have that thing for you tomorrow. I forgot to respond to you, sorry.
Yeah.
So
Craig's actually donating a signed Dick Butkus football for the Lime Auction.
Good for you,
Craig.
That's awesome. You won't even make a dent. Well, my God, you won't even miss it, will you? No. This dude, his basement's incredible. Wow, I should say that publicly. Don't record that anymore. Somebody's not in the door right now. Anyway, that's awesome. So yeah, that's good. So it's a good weekend. There's a lot going on, and everyone have fun. I appreciate it. Tim, anything else? Spring sign-ups going on, right?
Baseball, softball registration tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay, so you got another day. Is that soccer too? Did you say or not?
Soccer technically ended last week, but we continue to take late registration as long as we have spots available.
And your numbers are up, correct?
We're about 120 up from last year in totality of both baseball, softball, and soccer.
And were you saying that Steph doing youth tackle on Grand Reserve should be baseball and soccer? Just kidding, guys. Just kidding. He didn't say it. That's awesome. Okay, good. Well, that's all I have on the mayor's report that's not written. Next, I'm going to turn this over to the esteemed Kathleen Orr.
Bright Farms. Bright Farms developed, and I think most of you are very much aware of it, 120 acres. It is for four greenhouses, approximately $400,000 square feet. The issue here is sewer services. Bright Farms is not requesting water services because we're told that the way water is treated is not something that's usable for Bright Farms to grow their green products. So consequently, it is sewer service that they are looking for. After many weeks of discussion, and you have in your packet a summary, which Brad can explain better than I, as to the cost of running a sewer line from the interceptor all the way through to Lincoln Prairie. There's a breakdown in your packet that demonstrates to get this done in total, what we would want to do is have a 30-inch main, 16-inch main, and a 12-inch main as we went came close to the development. The reason here is that, of course, YBSD would be building a sewer line that then can be utilized for many other property owners, future property owners. The bottom line is, and we can go through this in better detail if you have any questions, the bottom line is that the total cost of this project for each three segments of the sewer line is $2.866 million. Of this, YBSD would participate in the funding of $665,480, which would represent their portion of the 30-inch line that they would then be able to utilize. Bright Farms would, of necessity, they are willing to pay $501,000 towards the line itself. That would be 100% of the 12-inch sanitary sewer line that will directly serve their property, and in addition, the additional 12-inch, where in which they would only be utilizing, I believe, 15% of the capacity of the line. So it would be greater than they would anticipate. That cost, however, leaves a shortfall of almost $1.7 million. As you know, this city council authorized to go forward with a grant for $1 million, which we were hoping. I don't have any idea if we've had any response. We have no idea as to the success of that grant. But if that leaves a shortfall of $699,700,000. The city has been negotiating with the developer, and we have said that that shortfall is something we would want the developer to pay. However, we would, as a city, be willing to take on $150,000 of the $699 deficiency, but only on the condition that Wright Farms were funded and we pay it back over 4 years. It is my understanding that, Sean, you wanted to address the city council with regard to information on this project. Is that, with your permission, is that doable?
Oh yeah, I think the council wants to ask questions and I think Sean wants to present some stuff. And just a couple things I will say. One is, we're not asking for a vote tonight, this is just discussion. The second thing is, and I know we're all waiting to hear this, they have not completed the water study yet, and that's obviously something that we all want to hear as well, so we just don't have that information tonight. But I know, Sean, there's some things you, wherever you are, Sean.
Right here.
Oh, you're here. God, I didn't realize you came right there. You're going to Zoom in. I didn't recognize you're wearing a mask, so look at where you're in Boston or whatever. Anyway, Sean, thanks for coming out tonight.
Sure thing. So, on the budget, what I was, and Bart's been incredible to work with in helping me through this, what I asked for was simply that we leave some opportunity to explore some additional city contribution where that's possible, particularly if the grant doesn't materialize. I think we'll have word on the grant in the next couple of weeks. And if you get the grant, everything is a lot easier, right? And I know this probably feels like a big ask of the city. When we work and build other places, it's not often that we have to build the public infrastructure that serves us. Usually it's there. Or the towns are, and the towns are structured differently. You don't have different entities responsible for different things. Sometimes they are, but sometimes, but this is a little bit unusual for us. So I'm having to work with my team to get authorizations for monies and things. And we're moving in good faith. As the mayor will tell you and Brad will tell you, we make sure that money is fronted to make sure engineering can proceed and things can move forward. And so I wanted to at least leave open the opportunity to try to negotiate for additional support should it be needed. I think the key thing is that we finalize, and I think in your packets, there may be some of the terms of a development agreement. I don't know if I'm jumping the gun here. But we're hoping that those are, again, no. I think there's no up or down vote or any of that but tonight, but that you're kind of briefed so that when we come back with the final terms of that, you go, okay, no big surprises here. We knew this was coming. Because we want to finalize that development agreement in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Maybe four, I guess, before the next meeting with the plan. Again, we're total cost neighborhood of $3 million was a lot for Bright Farms to take on. The YBSD basically is giving us money back that we have to put in for our sewer accession fees, which is a contribution. They didn't have to do that. They're putting money into the sewer that they could have kept because they fund forward other things. So I appreciate that Cyrus has also been very good to work with, and I appreciate the support we've had from them. I also know that the city has a prior project where they paid forward for a sewer project that was When I can tell you, when we say we're going to do a project, we're going to do it. So we sign a development agreement with you, we're going to move forward. So I can assure you that. And we're inside whatever commitments we need to do in that regard. I don't know if there's any other questions, but that's all I have to say.
Kathy, did you have
there, one? Yeah, there are two other issues that you should be aware of. Number one, we had offered, the staff has offered Wright Farms recapture agreement. So that in the for a maximum of 20 years, so that if there's any development of properties that are being served by the sewer system, that they would be mandated to vacate their fair share of the sewer line that Bright Farms has fronted. That would even pertain, as I understand, Bright Farms is asking of a recapture of $1 million for the grant, which if we get the grant. I don't know if that's been finalized. That even if the grant comes, that you can still get recapture on that $1 million.
I read it a little differently, and maybe the way Bart explained it is that actually the grant money can't be part of recapture, so the grant money actually has to fund things that are not recapturable.
Okay.
Which is, I guess, it might be another way of saying the same thing you just said. I'm not sure.
Right, but the terms of the grant. Or something I'd have to turn to Aaron. The other thing I wanted to mention to the City Council to be aware of is that YBSD will be engaging EEI to do their construction and the agreements and to proceed with their portion of this project, which it better coordinates the sewer system in terms of our future use and our agents who serve us to know our total system. So those were two additional factors. So the recapture then would be available to the extent that it's not covered by the grant because of the prohibitions of the grant, which, okay. Thank you.
Sean, anything else? Otherwise, I'm open up for questions.
I'll just say one other thing that we're working on that's the critical piece of this is water. I know there are lots of questions about it. I hope to have this done 2 or 3 months ago. Mother Nature has not cooperated at all. It's one of the colder winters we've had in a while. We think the well will be finished tomorrow. We'll start to draw down. It is a test well. We can't use something as part of this agreement. You guys need to be happy with the way it works. And we're drilling at a little bit different depth than our driller's recommendation. The permit we pulled for is a little deeper than we had planned, but it's not at a depth that really is relevant, I think, to Yorkville's wells. It's not as deep as Yorkville's wells. But it's below the sand and gravel ones. So one of the questions that I got from folks is, hey, how is this going to affect neighboring residences and farms? And the answer is zero. If we go into depth, if we stay at the depth we're at now, No effect at all.
You're sure none of them are at that depth?
Yeah.
None of them. Basically, we'll go through this when I present the final results, but basically there's an impermeable layer between those wells and where we would be drilling. Most of Yorkville's wells, but for one, are another layer below that. So we're kind of in an in-between layer. Yorkville has one well there that's more than a mile from us. So we think we're kind of at a sweet spot where we're not going to hurt anybody. And of course, we're doing a huge number of things by way of water conservation, including rainwater capture that will be a third and a half of our water. And we're going to recover condensate from our cooling and heating systems that will recover almost that. It won't be that much again, but it'll be a fair amount of water that we'll get out of that. So we are obligated under our corporate guidelines and everything, commitments that our parent companies made toward water neutrality. So we're kind of wearing the same, we have the same objectives you do. We want to be good stewards of the water. And I think we'll be able to share we're making choices that won't leave anybody short.
Okay, and just, Sean, I know I've asked a couple of times, but just for me, and again, there's gonna be a lot of questions, but tell me about the number of jobs again. How many jobs do you expect to create?
We've changed technologies, and I thought we were going to see a huge drop in the number of employees. We started saying, okay, it's going to be about 60 or 80 jobs per module, the four modules. Then when we changed technologies, I thought it was going to drop down to about 40. It's back up to between 60 and 80 jobs per greenhouse module. So it could be upward of 200 before we're done.
Okay.
If we had full build out, we're looking at about 80 when we open the thing, the first month, 1 meter.
Okay, good. And that's just a good piece of information. So,
yeah.
Okay. Anything else before we open up for questions?
No.
Okay. Craig, I know you had some questions. Are you ready or not?
No.
Okay. Others? Chris? Am I wrong to assume you have questions?
Yeah, I have questions, things to discuss.
I can go somewhere else if you want to pull up.
If there's something else.
Anyone else?
One question. You are doing this in phases. How many phases? Because each phase is 400,000 square feet. Do you know how many? Do you have a projection as to what number of phases and what period of time?
The answer I was given to that is how much less can you eat?
It
really depends on how the market reacts to our product. We already have a greenhouse in Illinois. It's tiny compared to what we're going to build here. That greenhouse sells out all of its lettuce. When the first one sells out here, we build the next one. So it's very hard to say. I've been kind of giving it a rough guess. One every 2 years, we build another one, and that's our hope. That the market absorbs our product that fast. But I can tell you, if it's going faster than that, we'll build two at once. It could go faster.
One of the questions I had from our previous notes was, the estimate was 50,000 gallons per day per month. Is that correct?
That's the name of it. We're still about there. Yeah.
And what exactly, when you guys do recapture water, what process do you use to recapture?
So our primary challenge with, so one process is rainwater recapture, which is just taking it off the roof and going through downspouts and into tanks. And we're actually literally at this moment designing, and we're meeting every week on the progress of our rainwater recapture system. That's one piece. The other is processed water. So we don't wash our lettuce. You can buy our lettuce, and you don't have to wash it at all because it's never been touched by human hands. It's grown in, or anything else for that matter. It's growing, the root system is growing in a some media, but since it's never had anything on it or touch it, you don't have to wash it. None of our greenhouses do wash the lettuce. So we don't waste water washing, but we do wash down our equipment and systems at the end of every shift. And that's a critical, we rigorous about health and safety, so we have processed water from that wash down. And we end up with peat moss and things like that in our water and some suspended solids. And we like to clean that up as much as we can to get as much water out before we send it into the system. Cyrus knows, I've sent him samples of what we get. He says your system can handle it fine. But we try to wring as much as we can out of that. So it goes through a clarifying system, settlement tank, some filtration. It gets some treatment, some chlorine or whatever. We can't grow with chlorine, but it's processed water we can clean with. So it gets zapped a little bit with that. And then it can go back into our cleaning process. So that's how that works. I couldn't, it's fairly complicated. You want to look at the charts of it, I don't understand it very well, but there's extensive processing of re-cleaning of the process water.
Is there any type of literature you
have? Sure. It's not like by way of brochure type thing, but I'd be happy to share our process water cleaning diagram with you. Are you? Because if you have expertise, we could use it. I mean, we're always looking to improve it.
I work for a standard.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we'd love to have input, because honestly, I'd like it to get better. Great. I'll make sure. Can I get your
input? Or forward it to Bart. You can have Bart's email.
Forward it to Bart?
Yeah, you're talking about the diagram?
Yeah, I'll send it. Yeah.
Yeah, forward him to Bart the diagram. That way you can share it with the rest of the group, too.
Excellent.
Greg, anything else you want to come back to?
Yeah, if you want to continue on.
Yeah, so I think Dan and then Joe and then Chris.
Just want to know if there's been discussions about contingency if the $1 million grant doesn't come through. I don't want to know what the results of those are. I just want to know if it is not granted, is there still a plan to move forward with the city, or are you guys looking to go somewhere else?
The short answer to that is, internally, at Bright Farm, certainly there has been. We have to go present our projects to a big committee and our parent company for approval for the budget. And will that $1 million tip the balance? I don't know, because I don't know, you know. Often when you're going for public money, is also, you know, there's a but-for condition. But for that money, the project won't move forward. And it would cause a real ripple in our budget. There's a very real but-for. So we those funds are, again, like I said, we're not used to funding major public infrastructure because usually we buy property that's already served. Or the town is doing an expansion and we can do it. We can add on to it or whatever. But this is new for us. And so I would say it's really, really important. Will the project, is it 100% certain the project won't proceed without the grant? I'd say, although there's still a possibility, you know, we have to find a way to come up with the rest of the money. Now, a lot of that money would be recoverable. I wish that was more meaningful internally. As you know, when you buy a new car, you build something new, people look at the total budget, and the recovery is sound good, but they go, well, that would be nice if somebody builds on that line in the future. You know? So that grant really is important. Thank you.
Anything else, Dan?
No, right now.
Joe?
I was wondering how you reclaim the cannons to reuse that. It would be really silly.
Okay. Or something better that he explains. Craig will tell.
Joe, anything else?
No, just if you could send that, that diagram too.
The condensate cleanup, it, that hasn't been designed yet.
Okay.
We'll give you a peek at it.
All right.
When it's done.
Chris?
Yeah, it will be acidic, you're right.
You had mentioned that if the grant funding doesn't come through, you might want to explore additional funding from the city. Obviously, there's a threshold that you guys have and you're performing on that basis probably. And it's $150,000 being, you know, thrown out there by the mayor and the administrator is the initial start, but if $1 million doesn't come through, my ask is how much more are you going to request? And that, you may not have that now.
I don't have that.
But that's, I need to know.
I don't want to have to ask.
It's a great one, but, and then to take that on that one. So that is a number I would like to know, is how far are we pushing that if the million doesn't come through. If the million does come through, is the $150,000 satisfactory to the rest of the numbers that are?
Yes.
Here? Okay. That's good. Now, I have a couple questions that are not necessarily directed towards you. I know this sanitary sewer is not out there, water's not out there. Do we have gas out at this location or in this corridor?
Gas?
Yes.
I have no idea.
It has to be, if it could, it has to be brought up from Faxon Road.
Okay.
It goes out Faxon Road and bring it up there.
Okay, well,
so we'll serve all the elderly.
Is that something you need for that? Is for that to be brought up as well?
Yeah, but the tap doesn't have to be.
Right, that's it.
What I'm waiting for is my board to tell me how much was covered by the rate versus how much we have to pay for it. Count on it being paid by our gas
company. But by your need, it will be extended up.
Yes, sir. And it'll serve everybody else on Elderman who's on the road, on the way there.
Which is what I want to get at, is that, you know, we can have one more facility service.
Yeah, that's a value add for sure.
Absolutely. And then I know I've asked about this, but the property tax generation for this piece of property. Right now, if I recall, what was told is it may not only be industrial, it may be agricultural, but it's a majority of the property. This is something I really would like to know is, can we get the estimated evaluation for the property, you know, the initial phase, and then what would all be built out is. So we can take a look at what our tax generation is for our portion.
I agree with this, and let me tell you what it is. We literally redesigned all the between the beginning of conversations with you and now. And the tax assessor folks, we have someone who actually goes and talks to the assessor and explains what this is. He's engaged by us. And he gets, because we don't really know what the assessment is until they come and assess,
right.
But we get the projection. And I get it from my boss and my boss's boss for the performance. And they said, don't bother, because they have a full equipment list, full drawing, it's not a big set, like it's not that kind of detail, but go show us what this thing is. And so that, we're maybe 2 or 3 weeks away from that, 4 weeks away from that. So I would love to say I have it for you at the next city council meeting. I don't think I will. I will shoot for it. But it is a great question to deal with.
Which that seems to be in part with the other items that you said are outside the water. So I mean, developing great terms. So everything seems to be a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, so maybe not the next council, but if we do, we might have some of these answers as well as maybe the grant result within a month.
Which is why we don't have a development agreement that's ready for you to sign today, and I know that you probably won't. You've asked me to consider something, and I guess I would say, you know, what we hope to do today, and what Mark did a nice job of summarizing what we think is we're asking for, the kind of part of 22, if these other boxes are changed. So you kind of pre-breathe, and I know I may answer the other thing.
And then a question for Kathy, will the redevelopment, or I'm sorry, the recapture agreements come to us for review?
The recapture agreement would be appended to the redevelopment agreement, so you'd have the exact form.
Okay,
that is
so those terms,
yes.
Of what they're capturing,
yes.
With interest, would all be specified.
Yes, we won't. I mean, I have a draft of it with the blanks on the very questions you're asking,
exactly.
But
okay.
The form's in shape.
That's what I have for now.
Okay. Seaver?
I'm good.
Greg, the only question I had was, should this development go through, is there any type of foreseeable plan for trying to draw future development out there? Or are we just going to wait and see approach?
So, do we have a...
So it seems to be like a marketing plan to try to...
Well, we have our economic development director, Lynn, who's in contact with developers and end users constantly. And I know, without getting into specifics, if she wants to chime in, she can. She's had a fair amount of interest in the last probably 6 to 12 months in that corridor. And I think I'm probably speaking, maybe Lynn can speak better to them, but I think partly because the economy's been better. And then partly because that Elevated Road Bridge is going through. But there's definitely, there's more interest. And I see Lynn wants to speak. And go ahead, Lynn.
So currently, yes, because of industrial being a hot market right now, and certainly because of the Elevated Road Bridge, there are other parcels that are under contract right now and going through due diligence. Doesn't mean that they're going to close, but you know, we do have two other parcels, rather large parcels, that are under contract and going through due diligence, period. So that's a very good indication of the future.
Thank you.
Grab anything else?
That's it.
Mr. Plosher.
White's redesigned the greenhouse.
We changed technologies.
Okay.
I mean, I will, after this, I can explain more to you. We would put it right to sleep.
Okay.
I'll call you about 2 in the morning on which. After I call a cop, too. Other questions? Sean, anything else?
Just I want to thank, I'll probably do this every meeting, because you guys are a really great team here. And Lynn, Aaron was amazing on the grant. She's fantastic. Christine, ongoing super support, and Brad. Brad's hearing from me about Brad. So we have, you know, great meetings on the sewer, and thanks to your team. It's been great. And Bart, who's my name.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Sean. And obviously, Bart will be in touch with you. You know how to get a hold of us, too. Thank you very much. Thanks for flying out here, too. Was it just for this?
I checked a couple of other things on, but you'll see my face as we get down to finishing our agreement, and you'll see me after that.
There's some real good restaurants in town, and you know, they do provide sales tax for us. I don't think they provide 150 grand worth, but they provide sales tax. So anyway, thank you very much. Okay, thank you all for your questions, good questions. Okay, next, well, this stuff was not on the consent agenda. Matt, you, were you here till midnight?
No, yeah, of course. No.
It was like the George days, right, Ken?
I don't have as many jokes as you.
Go ahead, Matt.
All right. Well, I have 4 things, because again, I threw you the other day. So number one, King Kendall Council of Mayors call for projects. 2022-07, a motion to authorize staff to submit a 2022 call for projects application for East Bend and New Street projects funding.
Second.
So, Brad or Eric, do you want to talk about that? You want me to?
Up to you, Mayor. Yeah, you
know, well, I'll try and you tell me what I did wrong because I'm trying to sign. So this is from 47 to the our edge of our property in East Bend, which is just past the ball diamond, is that correct?
Correct.
And the cost of the construction is $475,000, and this would be a 75% funded by the grant, 25% funded by us for the construction, and then the engineering we'd have to pay, which is another 110 grand roughly. We expect this would be awarded, if we get it later this year, we'd probably construct it next year. Is that?
Construction timeline unknown.
Okay.
It slots into the new 5-year program.
Okay. But it is, yeah, it's something we have in the 5-year program. So, questions? Excellent. Roll call, please.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Go ahead, Matthew.
All right. PW 2022-08, which is a BPI rate increase request. A motion to approve Engineering Enterprises Incorporated hourly rates as specified in the 2022 standard schedule of charges effective as of May 1st, 2022.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Transier. Questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Flocher?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Motion carries.
We are on the PW 2022-12, which is a Ring 3 Village Unit 5, Lot 366, plat of easement modification. A motion to accept the plat of easement modification upon receipt of the final executed documents and authorize the city administrator and city clerk to execute.
Second. I heard a second by Peterson. I do have a question. My agenda says 362. Is it 362 or 366?
362. Did I say 366?
It's 362?
Correct.
Yeah, I thought I heard him say that. I mentioned that. But 362?
I can read it, yeah.
No, no, it's 362, just for clarification for me. Okay, questions, comments? I guess roll call, roll call.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Clocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, sir.
PW 2022-13, a motion to approve an outline ordinance proposing the establishment of a special service area number 2022-1 in the United City of Yorkville and providing for other procedures in connection therewith, Timber Ridge Estates, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second by Mr. Colt, and this is the one where we'll have a public hearing on March 22nd. Is that correct, Christy?
That's correct.
And then after the public hearing, we have to wait 60 days and then we'll vote on some other thing. And this is, Christy used another term, but I call this a backup SSA. If they don't take care of things in the subdivision, that's when this would be assessed. So it's not an SSA that we all hate. It's not one of those. This is actually, believe it or not, a good SSA. Kind of like there's good terms and bad terms. This is a good one. So. Did I kind of hit that right, Christy?
That's correct.
Oh, she's just so professional. Questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Merrick?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Clocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you all. Anything else?
I would have known that.
No, I would have explained them all, though.
Officially, no more motions for public works. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you covering the first aid for me.
Hey, whatever. I'll do my job and we'll move on. EDC report, anything?
No report.
Oh. Public safety report?
No report.
Admin report?
There's one item. We have the Business Bureau 2022 Bureau Marketing Plan. Make a motion to approve the 2022 marketing plan as presented.
Second by Seaver Tarulis. That's what I heard, at least. Okay. So I don't know who wants to talk about it. You want to talk about it? You want?
We do have Port Carlson here, the executive director. He gave a presentation in committee. If you have questions, now would be a good time. He is here. He would be able to take questions. This is our third year. Well.
Not counting COVID, yes.
Third year, not including COVID, doing the program. This is a program where our funds that go into CDB, a percentage of it is used for the marketing program locally within our municipality. Our staff works with the marketing staff and the general staff at the CDB in order to create the program. And this is what they bring forward for us. And I believe it's $24,000, $26,000 that's being expended this year. I'm Yorkville.
Okay. Questions? Mr. Peterson.
So I have a question, because I remember your presentations the last couple of years, but I don't remember what we did in 2019 and 2020 in terms of digital versus print. Could you tell me what the spending ratio was, digital versus print, over the last couple of years, just to see kind of where that trend's going? Because I see we're split about, what, 12,000 for digital, 12,000 for print, And then we've got the $2,000 for video.
We are pushing more towards digital than we have in the past. It's still pretty close, but we are putting more into the social and digital campaigns than we did into the print this year.
Okay, and then is $2,000 enough for like video, you think? Because I feel like everything is going towards video and motion, and obviously digital. That's kind of why I necessitated a question on digital versus print, because I feel like print is just kind of starting to die out a little bit.
Based on our cost, they have to come out and spend like half a day for one of the events, you know, about $500 per day we need someone to come out, so we could probably capture, you know, 3 or 4 good events, and then use that camp for that footage for all of our marketing, or we could do more of the general city video footage as well, depending on what the city would like. Yes, I mean, $2,000 should be a pretty decent number. Then we do have some residual funds left over that if we need to roll it into video for it, we need to do that as well.
Okay, and then the last question, how are we compared to similar cities with events and population in terms of how that breakdown is? Is it pretty similar, or what are you seeing out there?
In terms of the breakdown between digital and print, or just the cost?
Digital, print, and then the video.
I'm not very similar, so we try to keep it, you know, on par with the other communities. The cost is different, and like your expenditure might be more than someone else's would be, but the breakdown is very similar in how we like to look at, you know, put some money into print, create more of a general branding image for the city, and then we can use digital and social as more targeted, specialized marketing campaigns for events, attractions, and specific items.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions or comments? I do have a couple, and I know I've asked these as well, how many 3 years ago. So, we take in about $110,000 a year from this hotel tax, and it's required to go to marketing. So, and we pay our 90% towards marketing, which, you know, 99 grand. So, if we're kicking in 100 grand, we're getting 26 grand, what's the other 74,000 from Yorkville going towards?
It goes for the destination marketing and sales that we do as an organization. This is strictly a more leisure marketing campaign that we do for the city. A lot of our efforts are more sales generated for sports groups and for motorboat tours, and then the overall larger destination marketing as a region where we do more regional, national publications and marketing efforts, and really to draw them to the greater area, and then get them into the communities from there as well.
So just for example, a destination in Yorkville might be the Fox River Kayak Park, or it might be Raging Waves Water Park, that type of thing?
Right, and we could put, like these dollars would go into the Chicago market, the greater, maybe suburban area, a little bit closer in, but enough to get people to travel to Yorkville to spend the day, hopefully overnight, because we're driving to the hotel, that would all be full. But to get folks from Chicago land and the region to visit Yorkville, whereas our other destination marketing is going on a more broader scale, going that 6 to 8 hour drive market, going national and trying to get people to come to our region as a whole, whether it's for a sporting event, whether it's for a motor coach tour to visit multiple communities and attractions and overnight stays. Or maybe someone looking to do a theater weekend, you know, they live in Iowa and they want to see a Broadway show, they don't want to go downtown Chicago, they can do that right here in our area, get a hotel room, get some great meals, and see a Broadway musical all in a local area.
Okay. Questions or comments, others? Roll call, please.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Card, thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks for coming out. Okay, anything else from admin? Okay. Park board. Ha! The highlight of the night, the pickleball court. So, do we have to pull this off the table just because it's not the agenda? I should get how it works.
You want to table it again?
No, we tabled to the next meeting. The fact that it's on the agenda, does that work?
Yeah, we tabled it to this meeting, and it's back on the agenda.
Oh, okay, tabled it to this meeting. Okay, I'm looking at you and I'm looking at him because I don't remember. Okay, well, nonetheless, so we have the Rotary Park Pickleball Court proposal, and we will have some discussion explanation, but again, to follow Robert's rules, can we get a motion and a second to get this out for discussion?
So moved.
Second by Merrick. Okay, Peterson and Merrick. So I'll start out with Tim, and you tell me what we're doing from here. Do we have a map or a diagram, whatever? I don't know if you call it a map.
Updated the memo of the package just off of some of the discussion and questions that were asked at the previous meeting. So we were just bringing it back to council based off of the discussion.
Oh, it is in the packet. Okay, so you all have it in the packet?
Page 150.
I'm putting it up.
I can go somewhere. No, that's fine. I'll let them discuss it. Can everyone see that okay? Do we need to flip like one bang of lights off? We'd save electricity if we do.
Do it.
Oh, look at that. That's fantastic. Kind of like a candlelight dinner. Oh, sweet. It's on our TVs, too. Okay. So, do we have to scroll down? There we go. Okay, so Tim, this is Rotary Park. This is the main part of Grand Reserve, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so go ahead. Tell us what you want to tell us.
Well, just based off the discussion, so I mean, this kind of came from the park board a few years ago. We had received some funds for development in Grand Reserve, where initially we had proposed putting the grandparents' playground in. They didn't want that, so we took out the fact that the park board funding that had been requested a lot, so the pickleball court being more developed. So with the funds that we had from that, we thought this would be a great place to put it with the funds and something that appeals to a little bit of an older age group that we had a lot of questions asked about putting in. This was a location that we came up with since the funds are coming from the Grand Reserve and set agreement to have to stay in Grand Reserve. And Scott and I went through all the parks. We really felt like this was the best location for a project like this.
And part of that was because there's parking right there.
Part of it was the park board had asked us, some of the members, to make sure to find, to put it with a parking lot, and that they didn't want street parking. So that kind of limited us to three parks that were at a parking lot in Grand Reserve: Stepping Stone, Bridge, and Rotary. We did reach out to the Heights Artistic School District about Stepping Stone. Initially, that was a place we did look at. They had really come back to us saying, we really don't want our parking lot used for the pickleball court. So then we moved. Bridge was really just not an option. That's a baseball softball complex. There's really not a lot of parking space there. And then this was one we felt like it's a big park that we could easily make this work.
And if I'm reading the dimensions, there's 80 wide by 65 deep. So from the edge of that pickleball court to those fields, I mean, you're well over 100 feet away. You're almost a couple hundred feet away.
Yes, and I've reached out to both organizations that we work with using it. They both have been given the maps. They both have been on the line. So they didn't have concerns about this. They were just making sure they weren't going to be allowed back there, that we're not getting moved out. They said that's not our intention at all. And the good thing is most of them, like baseball, they're going to be in there April, May, June. Their travel teams, a lot of times, they're only there Monday through Thursday. They're really not there on the weekend. Same with football. They're not there until the middle of July, sometimes the middle of October. They're only there Monday through Thursday. They play their games south side of town. So they're only there a short amount of time. And as we've seen with pickleball, doing some research, it's usually an older group that's going during the daytime hours to play that. Not that they won't come out during the evening hours, but a lot of what we expect it to be more crowded during the day, but these groups won't be.
Questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Zolling?
Yes.
Merrick?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you all. Deb, thank you. Scott, thanks for your input. I appreciate it. Okay. Anything else from the park board that we need to be aware of?
The St. Patrick's Day celebration.
That's awesome. Okay. City Council report, anything? City Clerk report?
No report.
Community and Liaison report?
The only thing that I have is COVID numbers. we are down significantly low to 1/3 of 1%.
Good. Thank you.
And only autocrats, detectable. So hopefully hopefully we will see anything by the next cycle.
Nice. Staff report, anything?
No.
Mayor's report continued. Okay. We have a couple things. First, on the Prairie Point parking lot improvements. Wow. It's like hard to say fast. We have a professional services agreement, design engineering, for it's just shy of $40,000 with the EEI. And this not just the parking lot, but there's some handicap accessibility, or ADA, I think that's they call it, around the building as well. Anyway, I'm looking for a motion and a second to approve this.
So
I heard Plocher and I think Merrick seconded. Okay. Questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Plocher?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Yes.
Soling?
Aye.
Merrick?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. And then the next thing we have is the construction bid updates. We're not looking for a vote tonight. We're still sifting through that. And we did get the furniture vote extended till the next meeting. Originally, it was supposed to be this meeting. We got extended, so we can put all the numbers together and make it work the last time. But I think, Steve, are you going to give just a high level of what we have now? And granted, we'll take questions. We're still going through some of these just to make sure everything's kind of kosher, like a pickle or something. Nonetheless, Steve, take it away.
This was last discussed at the February 15th meeting. We just want to give some updates based on the bids that came back for construction. We got six bids back, ranging from 5.2 up to 6,715,000. Light construction's a little bitter. We have vetted them, checked for references, met with them on Friday, Pete and I both did. No concerns as far as moving forward with them. Their bid did come in within the range of the original estimates by Corey Van Clark. They were under by about $30,000. So
they're spot on.
They were then spot on their estimates. So going forward, we would like to put that on the next agenda to follow up on their contract. They're ready to go whenever we can approve the contract if it's approved at that state. That's just on the base bid though. The other thing we have is furniture. This has been presented to the council before. The total is $426,370. That's outfitting the whole building with every piece of furniture that we think we need for now, other than a couple partitions later if we build out some of the cubicles. So that would be couches, furniture, desk, lateral file cabinets, all the above on that one. That's the one that's got the time constraint on it. We're locked in until March 9th. So we would like to put that on the March 8th meeting, just to try to get that one moving. At that point, we can't guarantee if we go past that point that they can hold that price at this time. So we might see a cost increase if we don't hold on to that point. Not saying we need to go that full amount, that's up to you guys to decide on that, but we want to present it quickly. Alternate bids. We had talked about redoing the roof or replacing the roof and all three HVAC units. That came in at $600,000. Competitive bids with everybody on those also.
That was the roof and the HVAC.
That's the roof and the HVAC. The thing with that would be the HVAC right now is probably 3 years away from its useful life. The roof, we could extend it past, but if we're going to do the HVAC units, in my opinion, that would be the time to do the roof and do it all at once. Because none of the windows in the building open up. So if we do these at a later date, not saying we can't do it, we run into the problem where we would have no ventilation in the building. The other alternate bid was moving the generator from next to the building out to the garage, or next to the garage, I should say, with a copper feeder that came in at $87,000. So based on noise constraints, and just the location, we feel it'd be better to put it out by the garage. That wasn't in the original drawing. We'll deal with it as an alternate. Supplemental purchase security system. Right now we have one pulled back. We're looking into that, seeing if everything's going to meet our criteria. And we might go out a bit on this depending on what the council would like to do on this. We have, well, the consultant's been there since the beginning. It's Clientele Solutions. So they've been on board for the project from the beginning. They've drawn up everything. So we try to negotiate with that and looking at some things that the chief and I met, and we eliminated a couple of cameras and stuff like that that we felt we could get the proper coverage by eliminating two or three of those. Natural gas line. It was brought up before. Right now, all the HVAC units are electric. We could run a gas line to the building. That'd be approximately about $4,000 based on what NICOR gave me from the amount they supply for the line up to the building. After the meter, we'd have to install the gas line up to the roof and switch to the gas units. We're thinking about $25,000 difference on that point. Bradford High Density Storage for community development. Right now, we bid up just standard stationary shelving on the left side of the room. Right side of the room, we weren't sure what we were going to do at that point, whether it was going to be stationary shelving for around $8,300 or put high density storage up there, which means we'll have that more structural steel. The high density storage would be around $44,000 in our last estimate, but adding the steel, we're looking at about $75,000. So we can look at it either way on that. And other supplemental cost security improvements, which was the EDI contract you just voted on. That's exterior curb work, sidewalk, security gate, fencing, ADA improvements to the code, which are substantial out there with all the sidewalks and asphalt that will have to be replaced. And we also have to look in the future of, we looked at solar for that property. Originally, it was talked about putting it in the field that we purchased next to the facility. Now there's talk about possibly putting in sloped roofs, like a canopy style, which would affect how we do the parking lot. So something to keep in mind right now. I'm not saying we have to make a decision right now, but we would like to build this the best way possible. But if we put those in, trying to pave a lot later could be cumbersome at best. Supplemental purchases, IT equipment, and phone.
Steve, let me back up on that. On the parking lot, and I don't remember the exact numbers, but if I recall, there were two proposals. One was to just repave the whole parking lot, plus do the ADA stuff. The other was to do the ADA stuff and repave just a section of the parking lot. But the difference, the one without paving the whole parking was like about 317, 320, I think. And then to do the whole parking lot was like 70, 80 grand more, is that right?
Yeah.
So just, again, we don't have to decide that, but just keep that in mind.
Remove the dumpster outside the fence line, so there's going to be a patch there. If we remove any of the landscape islands, which I know to your point, you want to keep the islands. But Brad and Drew, as far as square footage, we're actually gaining square footage on an island by creating two longer ones on the west side of the building.
So again, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, please.
On the exterior improvements, I know we had a cost estimate on that because that also included our drive that we have that goes from Plant Down to Rose, but our private drive that we access our parking lots off of. Mm-hmm. So, do you remember what that total estimate was for those improvements?
Pretty cool. Drive is actually the RTPR program.
Correct.
Okay. That's how I'm included in
the list. So that's going to be pulled out. So originally we had the two numbers. We had parking lots and the drive, so we pulled that out.
This is just site work, the charge parking lot, fence line, and all that.
So that I want to say was probably, a few $100,000?
Yeah.
That's where you think that brings up?
A little less than $200,000, I believe.
Okay. And then, and then if we go with the solar, that's the scope and challenge of cost that you, I just want to make sure I kind of have a baseline of what we need to get into that.
Yeah, I mean, Brad's already given us cost estimates around $390,000 to do complete parking lot, fence line, move in the dumpster, ADA site work, replacing some of the curb and gutters because they're very deteriorated. As far as IT equipment and phone systems, we do have a quote from InterDev. We're tweaking it right now based on how much equipment and what we actually need in the building. So So I don't want to present that number at this point, only for the fact that we don't know where we're at as far as if we're going to come down on that number or over there. Narrow town a little bit. Supplemental purchases, TVs, monitors, that type of thing. We have a budget placed in there based on just rough estimates. So we're trying to cover everything we can, but obviously if the council feels we need to scale back at some point, we'll look at those numbers. But taking all this into the budget, we're looking at 8.2 approximately, which after talking to Rob and the mayor, we do have that funding based on the bond taken out. What we're looking is for a little guidance as far as how you want to proceed. If there's questions, I'll be more than happy to try to answer those or ask Brandon to jump in on that one. But I think the numbers came back a lot better than we hopefully would as far as construction costs, and they're ready to go.
There, so just following up on that, if we, again, we're not doing this tonight, we're looking to approve it in 2 weeks. If we approve it in 2 weeks, how quickly before they get started?
Right now, they're able to pull permits with Pete, and we're getting the background checks. Not every employee, but every staff member for them will have to get a background check. They're ready to start within 2 weeks.
Okay, so they can be started by the end of March.
Yeah, so I mean, in theory, they could be even faster.
Okay.
All paper with them.
Okay, that's exciting. Okay, question. I know that's a lot, and again, we're not looking to vote. We'll start and just go on down the line.
I just got a couple questions. First, if you're doing the parking lot, can I make a recommendation to spend money and clean up all the wild tall grass? Because that is the biggest complaint I get from a lot of people. I know it's prairie grass, it's supposed to be natural, but everyone just thinks that we are neglecting to take care of our property that we just purchased.
I will second that.
Hey, we're going to save 50,000 gallons of water a year by having that prairie grass. Or maybe a day, I'm just kidding. What else? You had something else?
And then the other one is, I'd like to drill a little bit deeper on the roofing side and see what roofing are they recommending they put down. Is it single ply? Is it torch? Is it mop? Is it built up?
It's TPO.
TPO, okay. And then what kind of warranty you have on that? Because that's it's a big ticket item that covers everything in there, and especially TPO.
Oh, I want to say it's a 20-year plan, but I can verify.
Okay. Yeah, because...
Jason, if you have additional like technical level questions on that, feel free to reach out to Steve.
Okay.
Yeah, just get your questions answered because you know a lot more about that than I do.
I just don't want to respect it for me, but I've heard almost positive this one here.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. Mr. Transier, do you have anything? I saw.
Thank you.
Mr. Closer.
Yeah, I know Slayton had security in there for everybody else did. What were you expecting that to cost us?
Security of the building?
Everybody else bid it. They said buy owner on there.
Oh. They read the bid correctly, or the RFP, I should say.
Okay.
It was completely outside the scope of work. They just showed that for lap over with electrical, plumbing, stuff like that. We were putting cameras, we were putting card readers, that type of stuff.
Okay, so it's in there, just in there somewhere else.
Some of them didn't. Bid correctly and listed it as 100 electrical, one contractor bid it as 200,000, but Light's the only one that read it properly, and so
okay. So just to make sure we're on the same page here, the bid document said that was outside the scope, or that was
yes, outside the scope, and that was just for reference.
Okay.
So
it shouldn't cost us any additional money to do it, or we were going to.
The security is going to be a separate contract. That's the one.
Because we want to do it as the police department, right?
Police department, keeping security down as far as not publicly showing everything.
Okay. All right.
So Light bid it the way it was
supposed to be. All right.
Okay. They had approved specifications.
Okay. Do you have any other questions, Mr.
No, that's just one that was the only one I really had.
Thank you. Mr. Funkhauser?
I didn't know that as well, but just making sure they're equal across, that number is accounted for equally across all of them, you know. Five cities, in electric, the other set by owner, so, but it is equal, they don't have when we get into some of the items that we'll discuss in terms of the furniture, TVs, right now we are fully furnishing the TVs and furniture every room, even on occupied rooms, that's correct.
Other than one office in the PD, which was planned as future space, two cubicles in sergeants area that aren't going to be built out at this point based on staffing levels. I think that's it. Okay. Everything else is built out. So I think that community development could have three more views.
Right, that's what I thought is we could have some spaces.
Well, we're putting all the data electric, everything in for it. It's just a matter of people.
Everything on the plan that we are.
Everything that's on the plan.
It's
all included in here.
Okay. And then the, so move the generator, $87,000. That includes the pad, that's everything. So that's that moves it far enough, and it's close enough where it's still going to be within a secure area.
Yes, still be the fence line.
Okay. And then, now the 8.2 total, $8.2 million total does not include our purchase price, so there's another $2 million on that. So coming back to the total, I know we had talked about this way back, about refunding the bond from, or refunding general fund out of some of it. At this point, we would not be able to refund the general fund for the actual purchase of the building because we're going to the cap of our bond. Is that correct?
Rob, what do you mean? Do you understand what he asked?
You said that again, Chris, I'm sorry.
So the numbers we're looking at right now, $8.2 million, does not include the purchase price of the building, $2 million.
Correct, approximately. Correct.
So the bond proceeds that we have are $8 million. Correct.
Well, 9.5, yeah.
5, okay. So what I want to get is there any refunding or is there access for becoming right to the cap when we include the building purchase, the land purchase?
There wouldn't be any access.
There is no access.
Right.
So we would be going into general fund for part of this. Potentially. A very small part, it looks like.
Potentially.
Okay. That's, I just want to kind of get down to where we're at on that, if there's any access.
To bring one other thing up, we do have one, let me find it here. Design and construction contingencies of $340,000 that was built into there that we're probably not going to use.
Okay.
So that's.
So there's potential savings.
Yes.
One thing, your notes, I would love to see a summary of your notes, including everything, EI's scope of services for the design engineering, all of those, just to give myself a grasp on everything. Because this is very helpful to have your numbers today.
Anything else? On this side, Seaver, any questions?
I like burning Chris.
What's that? What's that?
I like prairie grass.
Oh.
living in Prairie Meadows, being next to Prairie Point, seems appropriate to
have prairie grass.
I can't say I disagree with Seaver. That might be like a rock, paper, scissors. Or quarters, one of the two. Anything else, Seaver? Matthew.
How can I follow that? Sorry, Steve, did I hear you say that you had experience with one of these vendors prior? Did you say that?
With what?
Did you say you had experience with one of these vendors?
Some of the subcontractors that I have worked with, like Truck, I haven't been personally, but I've gone through their references and only one was kind of iffy, but that was somebody who,
So is it
different, but three others were nothing but great things to say.
Yeah, okay, so is it for Jansen?
Yeah, we've already met with him on Friday and talked to him about different things, so I think it's going to be a good fit.
Yeah. All right. And you?
Kent?
Yeah, the other thing, it's not really about the numbers. Is there a plan to address how this works now in the future with the drop-down screen and
yes.
I know it used to be really a pain because everybody would have to move out of their seats. And being going to something new, it might be nice. That's
the plan is to have a monitor on each of your stations. The screen will drop down in front of the dais, so you guys will see what's projected on that day or on the screen.
Okay.
So everybody in the crowd can see it clearly. We're also going to put one possible monitor on the side so people in the back can see what they're
doing. It's going to be like Star Trek, it's gonna be a holodeck. Okay, Craig? Any others? Okay, so as Steve said, we, you know, we'll have this, well, I don't think he said it, or I said, this will be on the agenda next meeting. We'd like to vote on it so we can get going. Obviously, there's a couple things we'd definitely like to vote on. But if you have questions in the meantime, shoot emails to Bart, Steve, whoever. Call me if you have questions. We definitely want to get this going. And, you know, Rob's going to present here in a little bit. Just a brief budget synopsis. Bart will want more detail next meeting. We've got funding to do everything. So
Mayor, obviously, it's not a bullet, but the furniture, that's the key one right now.
Yeah.
So do we want to put that on next month's agenda?
We can put everything on.
Or next agenda.
Yeah, we'll put everything on.
Okay. So.
Okay, thank you all.
Thank you.
Steve, thanks for sticking around. Okay, water study update. We have met internally, but I don't think we really have anything. We don't have an update today, do we? Okay, I don't think anyone's too disappointed in that. Fiscal year 2023 budget presentation. Jason, note the time. I know I started 2 minutes late, but it's going to be over.
Got it.
Wait, we'll run her a bit. So, anyway. Rob, you got just a synopsis, and then Bart's going to go into a little more detail next time. But at least give you a high level right now.
Good evening. As the mayor said, this is a very brief overview of the fiscal year 23 budget. I'm the opening act. Administrator Olson will follow the next meeting with a more detailed budget presentation. Go to the next slide. So just give a quick overview of the budget schedule. Obviously, we'll be kind of kicking it off tonight with a brief overview. There'll be a follow-up presentation and a mandated public hearing at the next City Council meeting on the 8th of March. And then City Council has the last meeting in March and the two meetings in April to formally approve or adopt the budget by April 30th of 2022. Next slide. So tonight I'll just be covering some big pictures, some items of note. So I'd just like to start things off by kind of looking at the general fund. Here's a general fund surplus deficit comparison. The red is what's in the budget both this year, for FY23, compared to the green, which is what we were planning for the last fiscal year 2022. You can see it generally trends in the same way. Obviously, the glaring difference is fiscal year 21. We had a break-even in last year's budget. We actually did a $1.6 million surplus, which kind of helps the general fund moving forward. You can see last year, FY23, there's about $1 million deficit in the general fund, and that's been actually zero for the FY23. We're actually presenting a break-even budget for the general fund. And you can see it kind of trends down a little bit there, but not as precipitously as it did last year. Kind of goes off in FY25 and goes back up a little bit in FY27 once the debt service is paid off on the 2022 sewer bonds that we recently refunded. So again, the general fund balance kind of trending the same way. The big difference is about a $2 million spread, which is a good thing from what we anticipated last year versus this year's budget document. You know, it's encouraging. You can just go back. Thank you. What's encouraging is that the general fund has a relatively stable amount of fund balance really throughout the entire budget process all the way through fiscal year 27. Even though we're funding our capital projects at such a high funding level, which I'll get to in just a moment. But yeah, here's the fund balance history of the general fund. Gives you a little bit more in history than what the previous graph did going back all the way to 2006. You can see how much we've grown in the general fund in the last 10-15 years. So looking at all the funds on an aggregate level, it's kind of a hill-valley picture. And that's pretty self-explanatory, obviously, in FY22. We have huge surpluses from the bonds that we've issued for the new City Hall police station. That goes down pretty quickly in FY23 as we spend those bond proceeds down. In FY24, we're planning on issuing new bonds for the proposed public works facility, so the surplus goes way up. FY25, it goes way down, we spend those proceeds. And then it goes back up in 26 and in 27. So this is aggregate fund balance for all city funds. And again, it's been a lot of peaks and valleys due to the spending and the issuance of bond proceeds. You can see in FY25 and 26 and 27, it kind of dips down a little bit compared to where it was a year ago. And again, that's because we're funding capital at such an aggressive level. So it's not really a structural deficit. It's more the fact that we're just funding our capital in such an aggressive way, which I'll show in just a moment here. But the good news is that we have financial wherewithal to do that. So if we need to pull back in fiscal year 25 and beyond, we will. But hopefully we won't have to do that. This really is a great graphic illustration of how much we're spending in capital. Gives you just a little bit of history in FY20. We did about $2.5 million, or 2.6, excuse me, in capital. That essentially doubled in FY21. We did about 4.5. We're anticipating it doubling almost again this year at 8.1, and then it just kind of jumps off the page for the FY23 budget. We actually have $24.6 million in capital projects planned. Now, albeit 8.2 of that is for the new City Hall, but that still leaves $16.4 million in road improvements, water, sewer infrastructure improvements, and vehicle equipment. So that number has doubled from what we're planning for fiscal year 22. So again, going back to the general fund, we anticipate having a fund balance percentage of 42% at the end of fiscal year 22. We expect that to carry over into FY23, since it is a breaking budget. Really, through fiscal year 25, the general fund remains within our policy target of 30%, going down to 37% in FY24, and 34% in FY25. Again, the general fund does bear the burden of the negative TIF fund balances. Looking at the water fund, the fund balance equivalency in the water fund grows brought down to about 13% by fiscal year 2024. But obviously, the big issue, which I'm sure we'll be talking about a lot in the coming months, is the Lake Michigan project and how we're going to finance that. So there is a bit of a rate adjustment plan due to some of the early engineering and study expenditures that we have for the Lake Michigan project. We are proposing that we increase water rates in a staggered way, and this will be the first increase since May the 1st of 2016. And we anticipate most users will see about a $6 a month, $12 per billing cycle increase for a household. This real quick fund balance in the sewer fund draws down to about 20% in FY26, but it kicks back up to about 53% in FY27 once those 22 bonds that we just refunded are paid off. And we are increasing some, or we are including some inflationary fee increases planned for the sewer maintenance fee for fiscal year 23 and beyond in this budget document. So just kind of touching on revenue growth, obviously we've had some phenomenal growth these last couple of fiscal years. 13% sales growth, sales tax growth last year for municipal and non-home rule sales. This year it could be over 20%. But obviously going forward, we're remaining to be conservative. Most of the major revenues in the general fund, we're looking at a 2 to 3% increase. In Lake Michigan, obviously that's something that we'll have to address here. Starting particularly in FY24, but also just as I touched on, we have a lot of new capital projects and vehicle and equipment purchases. As far as personnel goes, we're including one new officer each fiscal year. The officer in FY23 will fill the vacancy in the patrol division that they have right now, and then there will be one new officer for fiscal year 24 through 27 to keep up with projected population growth. So looking specifically at this upcoming fiscal year as it relates to the Lake Michigan project, we have some interim studies and engineering costs that total right around $500,000. And we do need to increase water rates in order to fund these project costs related to the Lake Michigan project. And again, looking at $6 per month for most households, and really it should be under $10 a month for 90% of the households within the city. And then, as I mentioned, obviously fiscal year 24, we'll need to adjust the rates again, depending on our financing mechanisms for the $96 million machine project. So Prairie Point Building, which we've already touched on a bit tonight, bids were opened last week, and then we're finalizing the bids and supplemental information for a good review at the next city council meeting. The fiscal year 23 budget does contain all of the upper end estimates of bids, alternates, and supplemental purchases based on the information that we currently have. Also, the other major project of note in the fiscal year 23 budget comes up a year or two is the Public Works proposed building. We do have debt service related to a $22 million bond planned for issuance in fiscal year 2023. And then the debt service would be covered by the inflationary increase in sewer, and it would be kind of wrapped into the broader discussion about water and water rates. And this bond would be funded as proposed out of the streets, which is the general fund, and then the water and sewer funds. Okay, that was just a very quick, very brief overview of the fiscal year budget. And again, the next meeting where we'll discuss the budget will be on March the 8th for the presentation by Bart and the public hearing. And then they'll give you two or three meetings after that for discussion and approval. In the last slide, the budget is available. It was available since Friday. It is online at the city's website. You get it in either PDF or Excel, whatever your pleasure may be. That's all I have tonight. Anyone have any questions? Do you have any answer?
Questions? Comments? I just think that, again, one thing to point out, I want to point out, because we're going to vote next meeting, most likely before the budget's approved, this does have funding for the full building and any options you want to pick. So that is in there. Others, anything else? Okay, Rob, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You tell Bart, you did such a fantastic job, he doesn't need to speak next time. Just kidding. Okay. Any additional business? Are there any citizen comments live, in person? Are there any citizen comments on Zoom? We do have an executive session, and it will be for, I'm looking for a motion to go to executive session for the purposes of purchase of real estate and the setting of a price for the disposal of real estate. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second? Second by Terulis. Roll call, please.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Terulis.
Aye.
Transier.
Aye.
Soling.
Aye.
Merrick.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Clocher.
Aye.
Motion carries.
There will be no action afterwards. You're all welcome to stick around if you want. I ask that Andy you stick around. But the rest of you are sitting around the camp, but there will be no
action.
Yeah. Okay. Clocher, second by Peterson, all in favor. Motion carries.
Thank you.